Okay, good morning, everyone. Very, very warm welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session, which is your opportunity to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. Now, today is Tuesday, the 4th of June, of course. So we've got a sort of an interesting market dynamic where we've got some very important US data out all around the jobs market in the US. Now, you might not be surprised to hear that we think the markets may end up reacting in the opposite way of perhaps what you would expect. And as a result, we've seen a little bit of indecision in these markets, and we can strategize around this news event because it is likely to have a bit of a significant impact. Let's get into it then. We'll of course start with our risk warning. Take a brief moment to familiarize yourself with our risk warning currently up on screen. We'll try and break it down for you as best we can. Now, all profitable traders need to consider which markets to trade. Where do we then enter and exit these markets? How do we manage risk? What happens if the market moves in our favor? Can we mitigate risk? Can we remove risk from the trade? Can we book in profit on the trade? All these considerations are very important, and trading psychology an important feature. And we address these considerations every day in our live trade rooms so that you get a bit of a practical, I suppose, application to these elements. And we're strong advocates of being consistent in our trading approach, accurate with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital, and of course be patient as well if we need to be. Okay, so let's break this down for you in a little bit more detail. So yesterday we had a final manufacturing PMI number actually coming in above expectations, and the ISM manufacturing and manufacturing prices actually coming in below expectation. So if you look at the ISM figure, this is a level of a diffusion index based on surveyed purchasing managers in the manufacturing industry. So we're there's a bit of pessimism, whereas the final manufacturing PMI is is showing expansion, which is the important key. So we were expecting final manufacturing to come in above 50, and it did, 51.3. So as a result, really, it's there's kind of a lack of clarity there, really, across these manufacturing numbers. Now, elsewhere across the Eurozone and the UK, these manufacturing numbers came in broadly in line with expectations. Spanish manufacturing coming in slightly above, Swiss manufacturing coming in above, although in contraction. So yeah, I suppose a bit of a mixed bag there, really. Nothing likely to move the dial. Just in the last 20 minutes or so, we've had Swiss inflation coming in month on month in line with expectations. So we've got a sort of a slightly different dynamic for the Swiss economy, with inflation proving a little bit on the sticky side, coming in 0.3 again. So a bit of stability there in prices. So this is the news event that we're talking about, the news event that these markets are very likely to react. So job opening numbers, how many jobs are available? Well, there's expected to be a new low. And, you know, if you look at employment in the US in a series of different stages, the first stage would be, right, well, how many jobs are available for Americans? And this number's been coming down above 11 million job openings, and now we're down to 8.37. So I think this will be a new technical low. So there's an ever decreasing amount of jobs available, and we'll have to see what figure this is, because this still represents probably close to 1.5 jobs available for every person in the US that does want a job. They can't all take them for a variety of different reasons, but there seems to be quite a buoyant jobs market. But if it's decreasing, then it does play into the Fed's hands. So sticking with the job narrative, we're expecting a decrease in ADP. We're expecting a decrease in job openings. Unemployment claims on Thursday, we're kind of expecting 219. And you can see that 219 just represents a slight increase in the number of employment claims. And then average hourly earnings and non-farm payroll on Friday. I mean, I suppose anywhere between 180 and 200,000 still represents, you know, a decent jobs number in the US more traditionally prior to COVID. And the unemployment rate is likely to remain at 3.9. That's the forecast anyway. Wages earnings, people's earnings are still growing. So we'll see if that comes in line with forecast or not. Unfortunately for the Fed, that's a little bit on the inflationary side. If people have more money and getting paid more, they're more likely to pay higher prices. So what we're looking at this week is the suggestion that we might start getting some softer employment data through, beginning to come through this week. So why is that important? I'll come back to the ECB in just a second. I just want to bring up the charts. Why is that important for these markets? Well, we're very close to all-time highs. This is the S&P 500. And we think if we get some weakening employment data, we think that's actually likely to be a little bit positive. So bad news is good news for equity markets. The reason being, Jerome Powell and the Fed have already said, you know, two ways in which we start to cut rates are inflation coming down to target, which doesn't seem to be the case, but unemployment rising perhaps up to 4.2. And if we're making strides towards that, that could have a bit of a short-term bounce, believe it or not, even though we're up at these very, very expensive highs. So we've got to be careful we don't get caught in a trap this week. You know, if we have still stronger than expected employment data, we'd expect a downside move. So positive employment numbers, negative for markets, and negative employment data likely to be positive for markets. It's probably a good time to bring in what's going on with these bond yields. We still have inverted bond yields in these markets, which suggests recession, but we've certainly rolled over off the highs a little bit calmer backdrop, really. It doesn't really allow the Fed to cut too hard too soon. And in fact, I think most people are anticipating just higher for longer, really, at this stage. So bit of softening in the bond markets, and if we start to get softer than expected employment numbers, we'd actually be looking to be buying this move. So yesterday there was an awful lot of chop. You can see the candlestick. We had a bit of a strong rollover and then a really strong reversal. Yet again, we've experienced a few of these. But if you just step back, we're really consolidating up at these highs. There is a slight little bearish sort of angle to the trade, just lower highs and lower lows. But it's right to suggest that there's some significant concern in these markets. So we did get some dollar weakness pretty much across the board yesterday in the end, and we were looking for a little bit of dollar strength at one point. So again, these markets just moving in the opposite direction to what we would expect. Mind you, we had a bit of a choppy day across the equity market, so a distinct kind of a bit of a strong turnaround, and we saw that play out in the dollar as well. So kind of a difficult day yesterday in terms of it would have been quite easy to kind of get chopped up in yesterday's conditions. Equity markets certainly a little bit more on the softer side. We did have that turnaround and pivot. Now the dollar, if you've got weak sort of equity backdrop, it implies a little bit of a risk off trade. You'd expect a bit of strength coming into the dollar, and we saw significant weakness. So across all these trades, we're now up at these significant highs. We've got a series of higher highs and higher lows. So even the yen strengthened against the dollar. Like, there's still an awful lot of indecision up at these markets, even up at these highs. So perhaps they're waiting for some sort of intervention from the BOJ. But just sticking with the dollar just for a second. The dollar Swiss, even though the Swiss franc have lowered rates, they were the first major central bank to do it. You'd expect that to be broadly weaker for the Swiss franc with more rate cuts in the pipeline, from our understanding. And we've now seen a structural failure trade to the downside. Off the back of that dollar weakness from yesterday. So interesting to see, because we had a bit of a sell-off in crude oil. So we saw a strong rally in the dollar CAD. Again, a counterintuitive rally. Yesterday we had a strong break, and then overnight we started to reverse in the Aussie, and we haven't sold off as much in the New Zealand. So we've got, I suppose, market conditions that we're not particularly comfortable with. There's kind of a mixed dynamic, an awful lot of indecision in these markets. Now, one of the best trades yesterday, without a doubt, was crude oil. Now, we booked in profit on this on Friday, not for any other reason apart from OPEC meetings on Sunday. And there was the expectation that there would be some further rate cuts, and actually, they decided to put some supply back into the market, which would always likely to be a little bit of a bearish move in these in crude oil. Now, most of the move occurred in a very, very short period of time, and then we started to get some continuation. And I suppose, unfortunately, we just missed the breakout. And then when you get down to these lows, you're really wanting to get some sort of pullback. So we're still waiting patiently, and all it's doing really is continuing to grind lower. So gold as well. So we'll have to just wait for an opportunity to kind of try and add to crude oil. Gold is in a bit of a sideways moving pattern for 2, 4, 6, 8 trading days. There's a bit of a bearish move now across the equity markets. If this starts to reverse off the back of weaker job opening numbers, we'll probably be looking to try and add a buy trade to these markets, believe it or not. Now, just wanted to just finish off with the ECB this week, because it is an important news event as well. So we're going to be hearing from the Bank of Canada So they're very much expected to cut rates 25 basis points. Again, that's quite negative for the currency, we believe anyway. So if we do get that rate cut, they're moving before the US. But we'll wait and see. We kind of have to see the data before we can make that judgment. So going from 5% to 4.75. And then the big one really on Thursday, which is the ECB, there's again an expectation that these rates will cut from 4.5 to 4.25. And we'll be hearing from Christine Lagarde as well. So really, really interesting dynamic, because there was a bit of a concern that the ECB and the Bank of England would be reluctant to go before the Fed, but that doesn't look like that's going to be the case. So it looks like the Fed are going first. The ECB are going first with a 25 basis point rate cut on Thursday. So one of the problems with that is if you start cutting and you create this interest rate differential, you know, you'd expect that to be weaker for the euro and not stronger. So is this the last rally to the upside before we get that rollover to the downside? We will be watching and waiting carefully for that opportunity. So let's try and summarize this for you. We don't really have... We've got a bit of a mixed market summary, because we've got quite erratic equity markets that are looking a little bit risk off. And we've got broadly a strong, certainly off the back of yesterday, quite a strong dollar weakness trade in favor of the euro and pound, the Aussie. And you've got an outlier there in dollar CAD, but slightly different market dynamic. So continuing mixed market conditions. Right, okay, so okay, just trying to you see, the slightly annoying part to these markets is that we're getting a bit of weakness now, whereas our bias is actually a little bit more bullish based on the potential data. So if all these job numbers miss quite considerably and they come in higher than expected, then the sell trade is on. So I think for that reason, we probably need to keep our options open. Okay, so we would like to keep all options open. Let's move this along. So we would like to keep all options open as we wait potentially weaker jobs data, meaning So expected weaker jobs data, meaning risk on market conditions. Okay, right. So again, looking to stick with this crude oil weakness trade. The OPEC move was, you know, crude oil weakness, again, just off the back of OPEC making decisions to increase supply. We didn't really see that coming. Maybe they were under a bit of pressure from the US. So we just need some sort of corrective pullback really to try and get into that trade. Elsewhere, we're really focusing on the jobs data starting to come out today with these JOLTS job opening numbers. So let's post this into the chat box, guys, and we'll wrap it up. We'll switch rooms now. Yeah, so in terms of a market summary, we're looking for continuing mixed. Well, we currently have, if we want to summarize, we have continuing mixed market conditions as we go into an important week for the US jobs market. So what's our trade plan? Well, we'd like to keep all options open for now as we await expected weaker jobs data coming through this week. And it's really could be the catalyst for that jobs data to begin to get significantly weaker, and that would send a massive signal to these markets. We'd be looking at bond yields, and we'd be looking at these indice markets to see how they react to this news as it's released. And that would mean risk on market conditions. If we start seeing weaker than expected job numbers, then we'd expect this risk on market condition, which means indices up, dollar down, and we'd want to position ourselves around that. If we get to kind of not front run, but we need the data first, but then we can make a decision with this backdrop in mind. And then crude oil weakness off the back of OPEC on Sunday. So slightly annoyed that we kind of missed our opportunity yesterday to start selling it. We got a lot of fast moving price action in a very, very short period of time. And unfortunately, we didn't have a pending order in place, which was a shame. On that note, we've posted that into the chat box. Let's wrap it up there then. In terms of narrative, whatever price action's doing now, once we get this job data coming through, and if it shows that actually the jobs data is kind of worsening to some extent, then that feeds into the rate pivot narrative. The markets would perceive that as being good news for equity markets, which is risk on, indices higher, dollar lower, and we'd expect further downside from US bond yields. And potentially due to a weaker dollar, we might see a little bit of a bounce in commodities, but the commodity backdrop is a slightly perhaps unreliable metric right now. Okay, so look, on that note, thanks very much for joining us as always. If you are interested in learning how to trade the financial markets, you can access one of our live trading and discounted and education bundles on the website. It starts from just $59 per calendar month. You're very welcome to join us. And have a look at our website, the livetraderoom.com. Any questions, feel free to connect with us through our Signal service. So we kind of have a bit of a wait and see type market dynamic. And if we get the data that we're kind of expecting from the jobs numbers this week, we're looking to position ourselves in a very distinctive direction. Unfortunately, it is further upside. So that's kind of where we're at the moment. Okay, so listen, on that note, thanks very much for joining us as always. Do take care, and we'll switch rooms now for those of you who can join us for the European Live Trading Mentorship Room, and we'll see you over there in the inside. My pleasure as always, guys. Listen, take care. Sorry, Colin, I'm just seeing your message now, so we'll have a chat in the other room if you can join us, and I'll see you shortly. Take care. Bye for now. Thank you.